you so much. I mean, I really appreciate everybody up here, but I'm just excited that we had a newcomer kind of to the front here. This great job, man. I heard you playing those little licks in there. Those are great. Thank you. Thank you for using the gift that God has given you. I mean, if we didn't ever have that being lived out, this series being lived out, that was it right there. So thank you so much, Dana. We've come to the end of our series called Your Part Matters, and typically I don't like to spend a lot of time kind of going over all of the sermons that we've kind of already preached, but I think today I want to do a little different. I want to start out by recalling some of the things that we've been doing over the last about 6 weeks, because I believe that God is truly leading us into a new space, and that it's vital, I believe, to the future of Ephrata Church of the Brethren that each and every one of us continue to hear what God is saying, not only to us as a church, but to our families, to your own personal walk with Jesus, and I believe even to those who are outside of this building, those who are in our community. I feel it's that important, so we're going to get to it. If you remember, the week after Victory Sunday, we talked about how we are to serve, how we are to give, and how we are to surrender. And if you remember, we spent time challenging ourselves to not think of our things as a desire to be recognized, you know, that we didn't have to be recognized, rather to do everything from a perspective of the kingdom of God, realizing that we will never, possibly never, ever get that pat on the back, that we're called to do things because God has called us to do it and nothing else. You all remember that? Thumbs up if you did. Okay, good. All right, that's one for one. We continued the next weeks by looking at 1 Corinthians, and we spent a couple of weeks in that. And first, we looked at we're part of a body and that we're called to be together and that your part matters here to those in this room, to those online, and even in this world, right? And together, we make up the body of Christ that is the church, that the church is not a building, the church is a people. You all remember that? Good, two for two. Very good. The next week, we looked at 1 Corinthians and Romans and Ephesians, and we looked at gifts. We talked about motivational or redemptive gifts and how they're kind of at the core of who we are. We talked about manifestation gifts. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, that when we receive Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit, it gives us another set of gifts. And we learned about gifts of the office or governance gifts in Ephesians, and gifts that are given to those who are called and equipped and to lead the church into the work of ministry. Y'all remember that week? Gifts? All right, three for three. And the last 2 weeks, we talked about Joseph of Arimathea. You probably remember this. And how his little gift of a tomb would be a place that changed the world. And that we learned that our gifts and our talents and our resources, no matter how small, can be used by God to make something huge and miraculous, that we should never underestimate the things that God has blessed us with and how much he will use it for amazing kingdom work, blessing it and multiplying it so that people will see the transformative power of Jesus. You remember that? Good. All right. And last week we talked about how we are to trust the Lord and lean not on our own understanding, and acknowledge God in all of our ways, and then he will direct us. We learned that we are to trust God's direction, right, God's way, and to use our gifts and our talents and our resources, and that if we will be so focused on this amazing vision that God has for us, to be us as a person, our family, and even our church. You all remember that last week? Good. Okay, well, some of you remember that. Not everybody does. Okay, good, good, good. Now, I know that's a lot to cover, and I wanted to do it right in the beginning of this message so that if you ever wonder what does it mean that your part matters, you can come to this sermon and just listen to the first 5 minutes and you'll get it there, right? And now we have an amazing impact in the kingdom of God when we fully use our time, our talents, our gifts, and our resources. Friends, your part matters so much. Now, as we move into the scripture for this morning, it kind of comes full circle. It comes back as to why we are to give our resources abundantly, why we are to use our gifts abundantly, why we are to give our time abundantly to the kingdom. It speaks on the attitude to why we are to give. And so I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be Acts chapter 20. We're just going to look at one verse today, although I'm going to kind of hint around it a little bit. And Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says these words. It's on the screen. "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. remembering the words of Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, I want to put this in a little bit of context here. Paul is on his third missionary journey and is headed towards Jerusalem and eventually to Rome, where he'll end up in prison. And in prison. Okay. And on his way, verse 17 tells us that his boat pulls into the seaport city of Miletus, where Paul asks for the elders of the church of Ephesus to come and meet him. It's kind of like he's kind of taking a layover at the airport, right? And he invites some church leaders to come and have lunch with him. And he wants to talk to them before he kind of has to catch the next plane. And during his farewell message to this group of leaders, this group of pastors, right, church leaders, he reviewed his kind of 3 years in ministry among them when he was in Ephesus, right, and in verse 18 to 21. Next, in verses 22 to 27, he opens up his heart, and he's explaining that no matter what happens to him, he knows that he has proclaimed the whole counsel of God. I mean, he knows that he has followed God. And then finally, in the last section, he challenges these men to shepherd the flock and be ready to deal with any kind of false teaching that was going to come their way. And so Paul closes this conversation with the elders by sharing he hasn't asked them for anything, right? And that all he has done, all he did, right, was not for personal gain, but to give to others, to sacrificially give, I might add. And so today, as we spend a few moments reflecting on this scripture, and as you put together kind of the whole series that we have been working on concerning how your part matters so much, I pray that as we wrap up this series, that you will come to know that it is the attitude of our giving that makes a difference. Now, there's a story about a very wealthy church in Houston, Texas, and he was planning a church-wide garage sale for those who were in need. All the funds were going to be raised for those who were in need in the city. And for weeks, the pastor challenged the members of the church to kind of gather things from their home and bring them to the church on this day and to donate them to the special event. And he really tried to encourage them to, like, bring items that would bring a good amount of money, right, so that they could sell it. And he told the church to look at their possessions and bring to sell what they had treasured the most materially. And he said, simply pray about it, right, and do what God is telling your heart. And so the big day came, right? And there were all kinds of blenders and clothes and old rusty tools and books and old toys and stuffed animals. And it looked like people were just trying to clean out their garages, right, and make some extra money. It looked like any other garage sale, only larger. It seemed as though the church really didn't spend much time in prayer about what they truly prized. And the event seemed to not have affected the hearts of those who attended the church. And the pastor felt heartbroken as the day continued, and church members kept bringing in their junk that no one wanted until one man arrived. He was a quiet man. Not many people knew him. He had just joined the church a few weeks before. He had just given his life to Jesus a few weeks before this event. And he drove up carrying nothing in his hands to donate. He didn't have a single thing in his hands. And he got off his motorcycle and his vintage one-of-a-kind Harley. He put his hat, his helmet, otherwise known as a helmet, his hat, onto the bike, and he walked away. And the pastor stopped him and was like, "Dude, where are you going? You know, you can't just leave this here." And he said, "Well, listen, I value many things in my life, and I've been tremendously blessed by a ton of material items, but my most prized possession is this Harley. Nothing I own comes close to the money value of this bike. I have no children, and so this bike, I mean, this bike is my baby, right? And I love it, right, so much. And I prayed to God what I valued most in life, and I realized it was this bike. And if God loved each of us enough to have sent his most valued possession to earth to die for me, he loved us so much that I need to show my love for people as well and sacrifice my baby." Wow, that's the attitude we're searching for, isn't it? I mean, what would our lives look like? What would our families look like? What would our church look like? What would our community look like if we were to give with an attitude of sacrificial giving, with an attitude like that? So I want you to listen to the scripture again. "Everything I did," Paul says, "I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed if you give than if you receive. Now, I see some helpful principles in this passage that I feel will help us understand the blessings of giving. I think, friends, that to be blessed in our giving, the scripture points us the correct attitude of giving. First, I believe we need to be content with everything that we have. Acts 20, verse 33 says that Paul did not covet anyone's gold or silver or clothing. It was not Paul's aim to get more money or more things. He did not covet what others had. And I remember, covet means the consuming desire of what others have or more as what we already have. And I love this Norman Rockwell painting. You ever seen this painting that shows a woman buying a turkey and she lays the bird on the scale and she discreetly is kind of pushing up on her side of the scale and the turkey, so that the turkey will appear lighter, all the while the man is pushing on the other side, trying to push it down and make it heavier, right? I mean, it's, we want more, right? We want more for ourselves. And it reminds me of the day America told the truth. James Patterson and Peter Kim revealed some shocking statistics of what people would go through for $10 million. When people would ask what they would do if they were guaranteed this money, 25% of them said that they would abandon their family. 25% said that they would leave their family for $10 million. 25, you probably, no, I want you to really think about this. Don't say, oh, I would never do that. 25% said that they would abandon their faith. 23% said that they would become prostitutes for a week or more. 16% said they would give up their U.S. citizenship. 16% said that they would leave their spouse. 7% said that they would kill a stranger. Friends, we have to work hard to be content, don't we? Remember this, contentment is not having everything you want, it's wanting everything that you have. G.K. Chesterton says this, there are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more, the other is to desire less. We need to follow Paul's example and strive to be content with everything that we have been given. Only when we grab a hold of that fact that God will never leave us, that God will never forsake us, that we can be at peace with what we have right now, that if we believe that God will take care of all of our needs and that he'll never bail on us, that we can trust him, that we can, our lives will then have a cultivation of a spirit of contentment in who we are and what we have. If we just trust in that, And not only will God develop it within this spirit of contentment, I believe that God will give us a spirit of generosity. I appreciate that part of the verse that says, I showed you that this, because of this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Paul describes how he worked hard with his hands in order to supply his own needs and the needs of his companions. He was a tent maker, right? I mean, he was getting up early and staying up late in order to cut and sew. I mean, these tents were made out of leather, which was a difficult material to work with. And so our responsibility then is to work hard, really hard, so that we can take care of not only our needs and the needs of our family members and others. See, the word here for work literally means to feel fatigued, right? We're to throw ourselves into our work, into our jobs, because we know that something useful will come from that, right? And that one of the purposes that we work, friends, is that we can have what we need to live. 2 Thessalonians says this, if a man doesn't work, he won't eat. Right? We are to work hard to provide food and shelter and things for our family, right? The Bible says that if anyone does not provide for their relatives, especially those close, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But one of the greatest reasons that we work hard, friends, is so that we can give to others. See, a lot of people in need are those people who are in need of something. You know, we can work hard to share with others. We've been given gifts so that we can serve others that don't have the gifts that we might have. We have been blessed with resources that we too may bless those who do not have the resources that they need to even live on week to week. And someone shared that. We make a living by getting what we make and a life by what we give. Early in the 20th century, Milton Hershey you know this, became one of the wealthiest men of his day. And he began working and amassed a great amount of wealth, but that's not how he defined his life. He measured his financial success in terms of what he could do for other people. He built a town that had pleasant living conditions for all his employees. He built a medical center. He built an amusement park, of course, a family one that everybody can go to, right? School for underprivileged children. See, he loved to make chocolate, but to him, work was a primary means to serve God and provide enjoyment to others. See, working only to have, working only to take, right, is the American ideal, but it is not biblical. The most radical thing about this text is that we're commanded to do all of our work with the view of meeting the needs of others. That God is calling us to have an attitude towards work, a new attitude towards using our gifts and our talents. Our society, we think in terms of having a job so that we can make money to fulfill our needs, to get our desires. And because we have been made new in Christ, friends, we need to view our jobs and our gifts a little bit differently. See, when you get up and go to work, when you're using your gifts, one of the main reasons that you are doing so is to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. It's God's money. It's God's gift that he gave to you. It's God's time that he gave to you for the needs of our families, for the needs of others in our community. And we can live to have, or we can live to give. God wants to take everything we have and turn it into a work of grace. Mitch, put that up there for me. God wants to take everything we have and turn it into a work of grace. Everything we do is done out of grace, not greed. You don't just work in order to have. You work in order to give. And Paul models this kind of giving for us. The word weak in this text means to be feeble in any sense. And so Paul not only preached about what they should do, he lived it in the years that he spent in Ephesus. He exhorted them. Oh my goodness, Paul was really a bad dude. No, he exhorted them, encouraged them, and he was an example to them. He worked hard in order to help those who were weak. He worked hard, and he could have coasted along himself and kind of thought only of himself, but Paul knows that this radical way to view your job, right? And so he encourages them to remember the Lord Jesus in his words. It says, it is more blessed, he says, to give than it is to receive. The saying of Jesus is recorded nowhere else in the Bible, but it was certainly known for the Christians of the first century. This should not surprise us, because not every single little word that Jesus has said was ever recorded. But we know that this word was so important that God placed it as a permanent record in his book, right? And Jesus demonstrated the truth throughout his life, because he gave and he gave and he gave, and it was nothing for himself. It was all for other people. So I think we can maybe paraphrase verse 35 like this. It's better to share with others than to keep what you have and collect even more. In other words, a blessing doesn't come with accumulating things. It doesn't come with accumulating wealth. It doesn't come with kind of not using your gifts or withholding your time from others. A blessing comes when you give it away. A blessing comes when you share everything. And it's somewhat of a paradox, right? Because at first glance, it seems better to receive something, right? Just ask any kid sitting around a Christmas tree. It's better to receive, right? But as I wrap up, I just want to share some things about giving. There's a tremendous couple in this congregation who has taught me the joy of giving. And I just want to share these things that I've learned from them here over the course of the last 4 years. And it's not just about giving financially, but giving in all kinds of way that many have perhaps experienced. See, what I've learned from them is that givers experience a deep satisfaction and knowing that they are participating in God's priorities. That God is a giving God, and he wants to distribute gifts to us, and he wants to distribute resources to us so that we may distribute it to others. When you give to somebody in need, they receive a gift from God through your hands, and you become more like Jesus. Next, this is what this couple taught me. Generous givers find great joy in giving. Some of the happiest people I know love to give, and some of the grouchiest people I know are those who don't give at all. And if you find your joy waning, if you find your joy kind of at a low spot, look for ways to give. To be more blessed means that you can become more joy-filled. And finally, this is what this couple taught me. Givers are thankful that they are in a position to give. People who practice the joy of giving recognize that all that they have is a gift from God. And as they give some of it away, they are reminded that it is not theirs in the first place. And many of you can testify that the more you give, the more God gives to you, which allows you to give even more. Now, a lot of this message can be looked at through a lens of financial giving. Giving our resources and the attitude that we give in that way. And I want to share that yes, I believe our spiritual discipline, giving financial, is vital to our surrender to God, and our understanding of how our resources impact the kingdom of God is very important. And believe me, I have seen it time and time again. And I want to share that, yes, there are many who choose not to sacrificially give for a variety of reasons. And my encouragement to you is the same encouragement that guy on the Harley said, you know, that you keep discerning why you have chosen to not give, to not surrender, to not give sacrificially. Perhaps it's something God was calling you to do, and perhaps it's something that you're holding back and that you need to lay down. But friends, this message is more about than giving financially. It really is. It's more than just giving financially to help others. It's about laying everything down for God. It's about laying your time down for him to use as much as he wants to. It's about laying your gifts down, your spiritual gifts, about how God wants to use them. It's about laying yourself down, every part of your being down. God loves a cheerful giver, right? It's about the blessings that we have when we give generously. It's about surrender to God. Surrendering our lives to Jesus means that we're giving everything to him, and that he calls us not to do that just by ourselves. He calls us to do that within the body of Christ. And so, yes, we give our gifts and our times and our resources to our community of faith because we trust that God's going to do amazing things in and through the body of Christ, and that more people will deepen their faith in Jesus and learn more about the transformative power of Jesus. Yes, that means that we give and we serve and we celebrate together the body of Christ here at ECOB because we know that together that God is going to bring a harvest for the kingdom and we get to be a part of it. I was reminded a couple weeks ago that we can focus internally and we can focus on the things that we need to grow, but if we are not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus in this world, what are we doing? Thank you, brother. And I began to think about that over the last couple of weeks, and I've been kind of wondering, like, how do I share kind of where my heart is on this? And I'll just share with you that God has given, and I'm going to use I statements, and I just pray that this can be translated for you, that God has given Brian a set of gifts. God has given Brian an amount of time, and God has given Brian resources, financial resources, to use for his kingdom. And I can do one of two things. I can hold those things back. I can take care of my own time, spend time just me, myself, and I. I can just spend time just with my family. I can just spend time just with my friends. I can just spend my gifts, share my gifts on just my friends, my family. I can just give my resources to my friends and family. But I want to tell you something. Where I have been transformed kind of these last few weeks, and I know it's something that's been dwelling in my mind, but I think I'm going to a next space with God. God's really encouraging me. is that I want to use every single gift I possibly can have for the kingdom. And so I'm surrendering more of that to him. This is my commitment. God has given me a certain amount of time. I want to give every bit of my time to the kingdom of God. And I want to give all of my resources to the kingdom of God as much as I possibly can give to him. Because I believe, friends, that if one person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus because I surrendered all of my gifts, that I surrendered all of my time, that I surrendered all of my resources, then that one person coming to Jesus is enough. One person in my life, one person can come to the transforming knowledge of Jesus because I surrendered everything to Jesus. Isn't that enough? So what are you going to do with your gifts? What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with the resources that you have? If one person can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus because you are willing to surrender more of that, isn't that enough? Means that we've got to do it. We've got to let go. We've got to surrender more and more and more. I need to do that. I need to let go of the things I want to hold. And I need to just give sacrificially to the kingdom of God, knowing that God will use those things, that he will multiply those things, and he will bless them. It will not return void, friends. Let go. Surrender. Release. For God and his kingdom. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, I just thank you for your love and for your grace. I thank you, Lord God, that you forgive me when I don't let go. That you forgive me when I don't surrender more and more to you. That you forgive me, God, when I want to hold back. So God, I just pray this morning. I'm just praying, God, me. It's Brian, God. I pray that I can let go of those things that I feel I need to control. The time that I feel I need to control, the gifts that I feel I need to control, the resources that I have that I feel I need to control. God, I just pray I can let go of those things. And that I can have a trust in you. I mean, it says, yeah, trust you in all your ways, then lean not on my own understanding. And that when I trust your ways, Lord God, and I acknowledge you in everything that I do, that you will lead me. God, I pray that prayer, that others were saying that with me as we move forward. So God, may we just live lives full of grace, full of abundance. And God, may out of the abundance, I love what Dean shared earlier, just not out of those things that are overflowing, but God, may we have the courage to take the things that we have and just surrender them to you. So that your kingdom will come, that your will be done, and that people will come to the transformative knowledge of Jesus if one more person came because we were sacrificial in how we live. Oh, God, that's worth it. Their eternity is worth my temporal displacement or my uncomfortable feelings. So open up our heart, God. May we surrender all. For we pray these things in the most powerful name of all names, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Just going to let that sit for a minute.